Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to I Hate Your Movie, where... I always forget this.
Why is professionals.
Why is this so hard? Where we inflict movies on each other for your entertainment. My name is Dan.
My name is Rick.
And this week, it was my recommendation.
It was.
It was to counter Train to Busan, because I feel like it's a very similar-ish plot.
Concept,
yeah.
Yeah.
Not zombies, but different creatures, different things. It's mostly about the people stuck in a location.
Yeah.
And the social commentary that follows on from that. It is a 2007 movie. Directed by Frank Darabont, the guy who did Shawshank Redemption, Green Mile, and the first season of Walking Dead. It stars Thomas Jane.
Yep.
And some
you
lady...
You seem really excited about Thomas Jane there. He has a sparkle in your eyes. You said his name.
Yeah, because I remembered. I was like, oh my God.
I thought you just liked Thomas Jane.
I kind of do. I do, actually. But it was more about, yeah, oh my God, I remember from my brain.
What else has Thomas Jane been in? I feel like he's one of them actors you see and you're like, yeah, I know him.
He was Punisher.
But from what? Yeah, but was he?
Yeah.
The Punisher film that no one remembers. I'm thinking about things that you remember.
The Punisher movie that no one remembers is the Dolph Lundgren one from the 80s. And it stars some lady called Gay Harden.
Okay.
I just thought it was important to point out.
for no immature reasons.
No, just to cover all basics. Rick, what did you think of The Mist?
The Mist. Okay, well, one sentence review is, this is the only film I've ever watched that I hated that I liked.
Okay. What?
There's so many parts of this film. I genuinely, at one point, I was shouting at the screen.
Yeah.
I was just infuriated with the regular horror tropes of idiocy. Like anyone in a situation, you know, oh my God, there's giant spiders attacking us. Let's stand here and scream about it. I think it was that point I shouted at the screen, just run! Mm-hmm. Just get out of the shop!
Mm-hmm.
And... yeah, so there were so many moments like that that were just so stupid. You never know how people will react in these high-pressure situations, but yeah. I feel like it's fight or flight, not stand still and scream.
I feel like this one set it up very well, that most of these people are very stupid, and that's why it worked for me.
I still think stupid people fight or flight. They run.
Yeah.
If they're stupid and they grab the spider and it bites them and they die, I can accept that. But when he's literally standing there going, it's like, come on, man. But, okay, so that's the hate of I feel for this film.
Okay.
But at the same time, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah?
I did, yeah. I thought it was a good concept. I thought it was well done. I thought the characters were strong. I thought it was pretty well acted for the most part. It had some surprises along the way that I didn't expect.
Especially the end.
Yeah. Although I did kind of see that coming.
Yeah?
Yeah.
If you haven't seen this movie before, you should watch it. And just know that this is a movie that advertises optimism over pessimism in a really, really dark way.
Are you surprised? What were you going to ask me?
I'm more surprised about you thinking the acting was great.
For its time, you know.
2007.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay, then no, it's not very good acting. I thought it came out about the same time as True Lies and...
From the far away 2007.
That was 17 years ago.
Yeah, true.
But it felt like a very kind of early 90s or mid 90s kind of film acting.
Well, it was meant to be a throwback 50s film.
Okay.
And that's why the acting is a bit over the top.
Mm-hmm.
It is over the top, but I think it's good.
Yeah. I think it suits it well. Well, we'll get into it, but I think there is at least one character that's too much.
Mm-hmm. This movie was supposed to be black and white to fit that kind of... two things. To hide the cheapness of the CGI. And to give you that kind of 50s throwback sci-fi movie feeling. The hokey kind of, you know, the ones where, oh, there's a giant ant because we did a nuclear explosion. It was supposed to be that kind of throwback movie.
Yeah.
Also, Frank Darabont took a giant, giant pay cut to keep the ending of this film.
Okay.
The budget was cut in half from $30 million to $15 million just so he can keep the ending, and he forfeited his salary completely.
His entire salary.
His entire salary. Wow. Just to keep the fucking ending. So. What's happening in this movie?
What's happening in this movie?
Thomas Jane plays Drew Struzan.
Drew Struzan?
Yeah, do you know that name?
No.
Do you know those old 80s, 90s painted artwork posters?
Oh yeah, I forgot he was a painter. He was painting Clint Eastwood in a rose at the start of the film.
He was painting The Last Stand from Stephen King.
Oh really?
Yeah. So basically he's a movie poster maker, and that was based on a real guy called Drew Struzan, who did Star Wars and did Indiana Jones posters. It's beautiful, amazing posters. It's dead art now. No one does that anymore.
What you have to do now is get everyone's head and put them in a pyramid on a poster. And then in the blank spaces in the top right and left, you put whatever's going on, like a fancy car.
It used to be worse, I think. Whereas everything used to be orange and teal. Remember that?
No.
And like, yeah, it's early 2000s, but every poster used the same color scheme. Orange and teal, orange and teal, orange and teal. And I hate posters where it's just guy staring. And there's like nothing creative about that. I love Drew Struzan posters. But anyway, he's a movie poster painter guy. His name is David in a movie.
Yeah.
I think so.
Professionals. I do want to just talk about the introduction.
Okay.
A storm happens and then a tree comes through his window, which is a brilliant setup and payoff, by the way, because that doesn't come into play until like the last 5 minutes of the film. The fact that his tree come through his window. He says, like, I'm going to buy all the stuff to fix it. And then he just goes grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm. Oops.
This is where the start of hatred of this film, before I started liking it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the tree comes through his window, but it comes through top first. Like, that's not how trees fall over. If a tree falls over in your yard, it will fall onto the top of your house or it will fall next to your house. It doesn't fall horizontal and then travel forwards into your house.
There was a twister. There's a hurricane.
There's a hurricane. Yeah. And it threw the tree 5 foot into his house, not through it.
In a horizontal line. Kind of want to talk about the behind the scenes making of this.
Okay.
As I find it very interesting. Like, Frank Darabont, he's a very slick, very competent filmmaker. His first fucking movie is Shawshank Redemption. And whatever you think of it, you know, that's a great first movie. We talked about it before.
No, I was just thinking, I was listening to a song the other day. It's an album of all joke songs. And one of the lines in the song was, "My penis is like the Shawshank Redemption. It's really good."
Okay. It's not the best, it's just really good. But this movie stands out because he made it with a TV crew. In fact, he made it with the crew of the Shield TV series.
Okay. It did feel very TV.
Yeah, it's not just the making of it, like the handheld cameras and like the cheapness of it, but also this movie is filled with dead guys. You know, that guy. I know that guy. Actors who you always see, but you never know their name. Mm-hmm. And they're always in everything. This movie is full of those people.
I recognized a few.
Yeah, the lawyer guy, who's his neighbor.
Andre Brower. Brower.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
The hillbilly guy with the hat on.
Yes,
he's
in things.
He's in his death in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. The best character ever.
And obviously the lady from The Walking Dead too.
Yeah, short hair lady in The Walking Dead.
The lady from The Walking Dead was real annoying. Her character was just awful.
She was right for some reason.
Yep, she was right. She has this line where she's like, "Oh, I can't stay at the store. I've left my kids at home." First of all, you know, you suck. Because why have you left your kids at home? If you're that desperate, you know, come on.
Yeah.
Whatever. But then she does this really annoying thing. She's like, "Isn't anyone going to help me?" No. Why are they going to risk their life? And then she actually says, "Oh, won't anybody here see a lady home?" No. No, they're not going to do that. And then, the worst thing about it is as she leaves, she says, "I hope you all rot in hell." Mm-hmm. Well, it's not their fault you left your kids at home alone, you twat.
Yeah. But I think that was just the beginning of the breakdown in the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's set that up. So basically, there's a mist.
There is a mist.
There's a mist that comes in and there's spookies in the mist.
There is spiky things in the mist.
Yeah. And everyone is huddled in the supermarket. And they slowly learn that there's spookies in the mist and they can't go out because they'll be killed most likely.
Mm-hmm. Nobody in this film does a very good job at explaining themselves. That's another thing that, you know, that really bugged me throughout the entire film. Everyone's just like, "Oh my God, there's things out there. Oh, there's things in the mist. You can't go out there. There's things." What's in the mist? oh, I was in the mist and this, you know, this giant spider-like thing came out and it shot a web, but it melted the car next to me. You got to look out. But no one stops to kind of explain what they're talking about. And that is especially the point after they get attacked in the loading bay.
Well, that's what I think is a good counterpoint to you. Because they have a whole little subplot about they trying to think a way how to describe this to people where it's believable. And then they just don't believe it. They think about it and they go like, okay, who's the most believable to deliver this information? That there was a tentacle in the mist, which is silly.
Yeah.
And you would not believe it.
If 5 people went into the loading bay and 4 came back and 1 was covered in blood,
mm-hmm.
then you would... You'd at least be suspicious of something that happened. And everyone makes poor choices. Like the tentacle that they chop off. Okay, fair enough, it melts eventually.
Yeah.
But you just take that tentacle into the store. Instead of going up to someone, hey man, there's a tentacle. And the guy got killed by tentacles. Yeah. You'd be like, come up and look at this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take him to the loading bay. There's a tentacle.
They do try that.
After trying to explain it to him and after yeah. Andre Breyer kicks off.
Mm-hmm.
But you just do it first. Oh, no one's going to believe me. Okay, let's get the important people to come have a look.
Mm-hmm.
But no one does. Of course it's not going to take your word for it. You go outside there and tell the most like logical, sensible lawyer person in the room there's tentacles killing people out there. Of course he's not going to believe you. Why would he? Why have you made that choice? It's stupid.
I feel like that's logical. Here's the overall, my favorite thing about this movie, and I'm sure we'll disagree on this, is that Thomas Jane, the main character, makes the logical choice at every step.
No, but that's what I'm saying, he doesn't.
I feel like he does.
You just take people to the tentacle and show them.
He
and
tries. Then you
say, he doesn't. He tries to explain it first.
Yeah,
and then No, you wouldn't. You would go to the Andre Breyer. You'd be like, come to the loading bay, you've got to see this.
Mm-hmm.
Show him the tentacle, then explain that the tentacle came through and killed people. He does it the wrong way around. He goes up and tells a fairy tale to a sensible man,
mm-hmm.
expecting him to believe it.
Okay. I think he makes the logical decision at every point, and then that bites him in the ass at the end.
Mm.
That's what I like about this movie, is that I'm constantly with him. It's like, yes, I know you're not, but...
Yeah. I think just for that bit.
Yeah.
I mean, and the problem, I understand why that's written into the script,
mm-hmm.
because that's the moment of separation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point where everyone in the supermarket fractures into kind of 2 groups.
Yeah.
And without that point, you don't have the rest of the film.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do the non-logical thing, which, you know, people might be panicked.
Mm-hmm.
People might not act logically. It's fine. It's not fine, but it's fine. And then from then on, I agree with you. He does 9 times out of 10, he does the logical thing.
Yeah. At the end, I'm still with him. Maybe I shouldn't be. It's so funny. It's like the movie is like grabs your hand. It's like, yeah, let's go on this journey. Nothing bad is going to happen. Did you notice throughout this movie, Thomas Jane keeps hurting himself?
Keeps hurting himself?
Yeah, it's like comical effects. He always stumbles onto something, always hits his head. And like, when there's like very tense scenes.
Yeah, with the generator.
Yeah, with the generator. He goes to check on something and he's like, bang, bong. He steps on a rake, bangs him on his head. He steps on another rake, bangs him on his head. Yeah. I've done that in real life.
Yeah?
Yeah, the rake thing. It's fucking hard. It whacks you really hard.
Yeah, I did read a statistic one time.
How many stupid people?
No, it was like, it was 14 people. I can't remember what year it was. Probably about a decade ago now. But it was 14 people in America 1 year died from stepping on a rake.
Fuck. It could be hard, yeah.
I think it was in the Darwin Awards.
There's a lot of leaves around, okay? I didn't see it. Let's talk about the Spookies.
The Spookies?
Yeah.
Can't call them the Spookies. That's the things from The Incredibles.
Well, everything is
the Eternals.
Incredibles.
Not The Incredibles.
Everything is a Spooky, okay?
Okay.
Everything is a Spooky.
I forgot which name for Spooky.
Yeah. I like to say that word, so everything is a Spooky. Obviously, the CGI wasn't quite there. It's 2007 TV CGI.
That's probably the main reason I thought it was like a 90s film.
Mm-hmm. But I liked some of the concepts of the animals.
I was disappointed by the animals, yeah. To be honest with you. Yeah, I wanted them to be a bit more, especially after the introduction of the tentacles.
Mm-hmm.
Tentacles come out, and these tentacles are brutal.
Mm.
Like, I was a big fan because they didn't just like do a stab and it drags you out, and it didn't just like sucker you. Like, it was pulling massive chunks of flesh off that guy, and it was just brutal to see. That was really good. And then everything else was just a bigger version of an actual thing, you know? It was just bats and spiders and ants, flying ants, and maybe the flying things that came through the window weren't exactly...
pterodactyls.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I wanted a bit more of like an alien feel or a mutated something else feel. If you didn't have the tentacles, you could argue that, you know, oh, they were doing experiments on bats or they were doing experiments on ants, and that's how you got to where we are.
You're a big fan of tentacles, huh?
Of these tentacles, yeah.
Okay, sure. I won't look at your browsing history. My favorite bit was, even though it is just spiders, but it genuinely gave me a chicken boops.
Chicken boops.
When they go into the pharmacy and then they see a guy that's webbed to the wall. And then he still talks and everything, and he falls over and like a billion little spiders come out of him.
Oh, yeah.
That was horrific. Especially that he was still talking. You know, he was still like, how? Just imagine that's inside you. Mm. That's horrific. I brought back an item, this chair I'm sitting on.
Right.
From someone threw it out.
Okay.
And I didn't clean it properly. And then I didn't check on it for like a few days. I put it in that spare room that we don't use. And then when I first looked at it after a few days, it looked like, you know, in the first Spider-Man when he tests his like spider powers, just webs fucking everywhere, the whole room. No exaggerating, I think thousands of spiders. I committed spider genocide. I'd studied it a little bit because I thought it was really cool, because what I noticed was there were lots of like kind of white colored ones, and there was lots of black ones, and I noticed that they're slowly making their way for the window to harden in the sun.
Okay.
So this is like, oh my god, that's so cool looking. But then I killed them all.
Genuinely, I think I would have burnt down the entire flat and just gone and moved somewhere else if I was you.
And there's the spooky that injects venom into the lady's neck after she finds love. 2 minutes later, she dies. A horrible, horrible injury. Just swollen face. Even though the digital effects were bad, the practical effects were really good. Like, the cut off tentacle was really good looking, and that like makeup job on the lady,
yeah, it was really good.
Genuinely horrific.
Right, so there's a mist coming in,
yeah,
people are running from it. Where do you run in the real world? Do you have a crisis / zombie apocalypse place in your mind where you would go? Do you have a plan?
Well, first of all, I think we established, because we talked about this a few times.
Yeah.
I think we established that I would be the first one to die in any apocalypse scenario. I would be the first sign of trouble. I would trip over and fall off for some height and kill myself. Not even the spookies kill me. That's a good question, because the mist itself is not concerning. It's the spookies inside the mist. Do I know if there's spookies in the mist?
No.
Then I would just stay there and die.
And slowly starve to death.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe I would hug the wall of somewhere just to like get a feeling of where I am. What about you?
I think I aim for a car. I aim for my car and I try and drive out of it. What surprised me about the end of this film is how far the mist spread.
Yeah.
I thought it was just going to be in the town. And as they drove away, they'd drive out of the mist.
Yeah.
But that would definitely be my plan, would be to get in a car and just drive in a direction, probably west, because we're quite close to the east coast. Oh no, would I go to the coast actually? Yeah, I'd go west.
Yeah,
go west, escape the spookies, go west.
Supermarket's good as well.
Supermarket's good.
There's lots of resources. I feel like
everyone would have that idea.
Yeah. And then it devolved into religious uprising, like in this movie. Yeah, what did you think of Religious Lady?
So on the intro, I said there was one character that was too much.
Okay.
And it was her.
But she was crazy.
She was crazy, but I feel because she was so crazy, it was less believable.
The thing that made me believe things like that would happen, maybe it was too quick, but other than that, she was really good at fitting Bible scriptures to things that happen. And also the big thing I think that made people believe her was when the flying spookies come in, the bugs, and then one lands on her and she doesn't move, and then it doesn't eat her. I was like, oh my god, she must be like special or something, you know. I think it was fairly believable.
I just think the way she was rambling on and shouting, and it's just annoying.
What was the word? Exfoliate.
Exfoliate.
Was it? They say it like 500 times in this movie. Oh,
yeah.
Let me hear it.
Expiation! Expiation!
Welcome to Sesame Street. Today's word is
exfoliate.
I bet when this film came out, the Google for exfoliate went up.
Exfoliate.
I forgot. Expiate?
Expediate?
Expediate. Expire? Expiry date?
Expired date. The Bible says we must exfoliate. Get rid of those blackheads.
Quick, everyone get down to Superdrug.
She's gay hardened, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very important for people to know that.
I'll tell you another thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so the thing that bugs me once again.
Bugs you?
It bugs me, yeah, about all of these films, zombie and otherwise, any post-apocalyptic film, everyone walks into the danger zone wearing trousers and a t-shirt. Again, you have an entire supermarket full of like duct tape, and you know, you might have like tea towels and things that you can tie around yourself and stick to yourself to protect yourself from the bugs and the bad things and the spiky things. And but no, everyone runs around in freaking shorts, t-shirt and a baseball cap like they're on a freaking summer holiday.
With one exception, is that they make weapons.
Yes.
That bite them in the ass later. But yeah, they do make weapons.
They do. And well, then they get sticks.
Fire sticks.
Wow.
There's the old lady who has the spray can and the lighter.
Yeah.
They do some things. And then they stay very close to each other. They don't separate. What did you think about that guy?
That guy.
That guy. He's the glasses guy. The little guy who's in everything as well. He was in Captain America Winter Soldier.
He was the big bad.
Yeah.
Very good.
Mm.
I was hoping and praying he would survive till the end. Mm. He was my favourite character.
Mm-hmm.
If you thought Thomas Jane did everything logically and sensibly throughout the whole thing, I thought he was definitely, he would be the person that I was.
Yeah, the little bag boy who could, huh? He was the bag boy in the supermarket. No one believed in him.
Yeah.
And he was the most rational, normal person.
He is the reason anyone survived that.
Mm.
There was a really funny line. At the start of the film. So you know the guy that runs, he's the first guy you see and he's got like a bloody nose.
Bloody nose guy, yeah.
Yeah. So he's resting in the supermarket and they're discussing like, oh, what's going on with the mist? Maybe we should be careful about it. And the guy goes, oh yeah, I can't believe the way that guy ran in here. I've never seen him like that before. I've never seen him running for his life before with a bloody face.
You see a lot of things in all small towns. Even though the mist looks kind of CGI, it was real.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird thing.
I don't think it was CGI. It never looked CGI.
It kind of looked digitally to me, but I've got the bad track record of that now. But anyway, they had to set up a special climate in the loading bay so that the mist keeps at the door.
Yeah.
And they had to like test that for days. That's really cool.
It was a really cool effect. Mm-hmm. I really like that. The string. The guy, they attach a string to a guy.
Oh, yeah.
That's quite a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, to see how far he gets and that kind of thing. So they attach a string and he goes to try and reach his car. And then it just turns into this weird kind of fishing thing. So he's clearly being killed.
Yeah.
He's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but everyone's wrestling it. There's like four or five of them and they wrap towels around their rope so they can hang on to. Let go of the fucking rope.
Well,
what
just
are you hoping to gain from that?
Maybe he is alive. He's just struggling for his life or something. You don't know.
No, because the rope is taken away from them really quickly.
Yeah, I know that.
There is no way.
It could be a spooky that just lifted him up and is about to eat him and they're trying to rescue him.
Okay.
I think you are way too quick to dismiss people in the post-apocalypse.
Yeah, they'd be dead, man. I think it's much more likely that your guy's been eaten and that you are literally fishing a monster.
And I remember you shouting at the guy when they were at the pharmacy and the guy gets hurt and just to leave them. But they were like, you know, like just a few seconds where they were like considering their options.
No, yeah. The guy was standing there screaming at the wall for a solid like 5 to 10 seconds. Mm. Doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a lot.
Mm.
And he, like I said before, that's what you would do. It's fight or flight. You would either run away or you would do something stupid and like try and punch it. Standing around screaming like a bunch of idiots.
I think you're exaggerating that.
I don't think I
am. I think it was a normal amount of screaming.
I think if there's enough time for me to sit there, get angry, wait a little bit, and then start shouting at the screen, and then me finish shouting at the screen by the time they still haven't started running away, then I think that's enough time to be angry about it.
I think you'd be the first to sacrifice other people.
Yeah. Well, someone once told me that the people that survive like bus crashes or sinking ships and stuff like that are the ones that kind of like they're running down up the hallway,
mm-hmm.
and they just push people against the wall and, you know, fuck them. They're the ones that survive.
Yeah.
So, you know, fuck them.
Just make your judgment at home whether you think Rick is right that people scream too much in this one. Or it was just him putting himself in the situation and going like, as soon as someone gets scared, he's like, oh, we're dead. Bye.
Bye. See you later. See you later, guys. Have a good one.
But I'm just scared. I'm just a little scared.
Yep. Good for you. You stand there screaming. I'm out the door. I'm locking it behind me.
It was involuntary. And my favorite kind of survival guy, which is, I like that this movie has some comedy in it, even though it's very cruel. But it's when the pterodactyl comes in and they have these mops set up. You light it up and then you fight with it. And then the guy knocks over the kerosene bucket and he lights himself on fire. After like, I don't know, minutes of struggling not to be able to light up the mop. I thought that was really funny.
There is a really interesting discussion they have.
Mm.
And I say it's an interesting discussion because I'm firmly in one camp. They're all discussing like how people are going to take it. Mm-hmm. There's a really interesting line that says, put more than two people in a room and we take sides and start dreaming up reasons to kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
The cashier lady at that point is like, oh no, humans are decent. You got to see the good in them. No, I totally agree with the other guy.
Yeah.
The people are going to kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you fall in the argument of would people band together or break apart immediately?
I think it's less black and white like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's totally depends on the kind of people you're with. It's up to people's like kind of constitution, you know, roll for your constitution. And if it's 20, then they would get together and make rational decisions. And it also depends on kind of the circumstances, like in this one, that the lady was accidentally true and affirming people's beliefs about, like, the monsters, that they're biblical. Like, if you have a person like that, that's definitely, like, destructive to the group. I think it's just completely depends on the individuals. I've been in a few situations like that when there was a spooky mist outside. There's a mist. No, I've been in a few dodgy situations where you really see what people are made of. And then it was like the toughest people who show the most toughness usually are the ones that break down.
Yeah.
And then the bad boy in this movie, you know, the people who like are normal and just real. They're not trying to put up a face. They're not trying to show a personality. They're the ones that are most hold up in a situation like that.
I subscribe to the theory of Dr. Cox that people are bastard-coated bastards with bastard fillings.
Is this the physicist, Dr. Cox?
The physicist? No. This is the character in Scrubs.
Oh... I was thinking,
I would love Brian Cox to say people are bastard covered bastards with bastard fillings.
I was thinking that guy is very nice and I wouldn't say something like that. And he said that about questioners about the galaxy. Do you think there's life in the galaxy? I think there's bastard covered bastard fillings. It's like, okay, thank you, Dr. Cox.
My next note is double hanging. How does that happen?
Oh, yeah. So the love interest army guy had two army friends.
Yes. Army friends.
Army friends. Rainbow. Army friends. Just they hanging that. Yeah, they hanged themselves because they knew about the spooky mist.
They did know about the spooky mist.
I like that the movie doesn't completely explain what the mist is. It's just a theory.
Yeah. Military base on the hill.
And then they try to open the gates for hell or something. Or...
That was it. Yeah, they open different dimensions to look inside.
Yeah.
Double hanging.
Mm-hmm.
How does that come about? What do? Just you stand. It's awkward, isn't it, right?
You do it first. No, you do it no, first.
You go first.
You go first.
No, you go first.
Don't worry, I'll do it too.
But he does in the end.
Yeah.
Or do you both stand on the same chair? And then you kick the chair. I don't want to kick the chair, you kick the chair. And they're like right next to each other, so like shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, army friends forever. AFF. They're little bracelets. Army friends, those rainbow coloured.
Army friends, 07 to 07. This lady is getting annoying, sacrifices the army guy.
Well, Gay Harden.
Who's that? Just remind me who that is again, just in case because it's important to the story.
It is that lady who goes crazy.
Yeah.
On the Bible thumper.
Okay, what was her name?
Gay Harden.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think you mentioned that before.
Yeah. It's not her character's name, it's the actress's name. And also, I think she has a first name and that's her last two names. Just going to keep calling her Gay Harden.
There's an annoying bit when they get to the car. There's a spider on the car. And they're like, whoa, oh my God, spider, there's a spider. Just drive, man. Just fucking start driving. It will fall off.
There's a big spider. It could hang on.
Could do.
And there was the gun on the hood, and that was important to get.
What I really liked is Ollie, the super bag boy.
Yeah.
He shot the lady.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
You go, Ollie.
I was really hoping, and it is a bit of a horror film trope, that the super annoying religious lady dies horribly. I was hoping to see her get ripped apart by something at some point. But yeah, she just gets shot in the head, which, okay, you know,
yeah,
it's good, she died.
What do you think happened after that? Do you think someone just took her place and did the exact same thing?
Ooh, good question.
That's what I think happened.
Yeah,
because the environment was set up so hard already.
Mm-hmm.
Someone just takes the Bible and keeps doing it and says exfoliate.
You have to have some pretty in-depth knowledge of the Bible. That was the thing. Because she was pulling out quotes like she'd read it a million times.
Yeah, but I think she preached enough that someone would have picked up enough to continue, yeah.
I feel like you just open a random page and start reading out what it says.
Yeah.
I think you probably wouldn't hit.
It says that we shouldn't eat shellfish. Oh my God.
Does it?
Yeah. You're not supposed to eat shellfish when you're a Christian.
Okay.
That's usually like a counterpoint where people talk about the gays. Because it's in the same paragraph as don't lay with another man. Also, don't eat shellfish. There you go. That's your Bible study minute.
We're getting towards the end of the film with my notes. My favorite bits about like towards the end of the film is they get in the car. And then they just really slowly, or it might be slow motion, but they really slowly drive past the supermarket window. Like, they didn't go straight for the exit. They drove past the window like, fuck you!
Yeah, everyone's looking.
Yeah.
And you don't know what to feel. Like, what's the better option? Staying in there or leaving?
Leaving.
Yeah. I like that social commentary aspect of it as well, which is like, shit's gone so bad in the little society of the supermarket that they'd rather go and risk horrible, horrible death by mutant creatures.
And then I can't believe what they did next. I genuinely, my next note was, I can't believe what they did next. And it's not what you think.
Oh, it's not the ending?
It's not the ending. Okay. I just, what the characters did next.
Oh, is it the, he goes back to the house?
He goes back to his house.
I didn't even understand why he would try that.
No, I didn't either. If your wife would not be alive, regardless. Sorry, man, it's been 2 days.
Yeah.
In the spookies and the mist and all the death, and you've got a tree coming through your window.
Yeah.
Like, she is either dead or she is long gone.
And you have a new girlfriend.
Yeah.
Whatever. You upgraded.
I did find that weird, actually. There seemed to be like this kind of love interest kind of thing. Or maybe we're just seeing it wrong, you know?
Yeah, because it wasn't really communicated as a love interest.
No.
It was communicated as the new mother of the child, really. Yeah. It was like a new caretaker. And we kind of put that on the situation, I think. But it was quite good. It wasn't like, they weren't like flirting while the while the spookies were flying in, you know.
So then they start driving.
Yeah, and they drive and they drive.
And my note here is, do I want them to get out of the mist? I'm thinking at this point, you've kind of got two possible endings. Either they're in the mist They finish in the mist and they're probably going to die. Because I thought the film would end with them sitting in the mist and like it like zooming out
mm-hmm.
and the mist slowly takes the car.
Okay.
And you don't know how it ended.
Okay. Why not both?
Yeah.
Why not both die and the mist is over? Oh my God. I gotta tell you, it's one of my favorite endings to any film.
Yeah.
It's definitely top 10 endings to a film. That's what I love about this movie. Because you're with the guy, you're with the main guy, Thomas Jane. It's like, yes, I would do this. Yes, this is all mostly rational.
Mm-hmm.
And you're with him and then you understand his decisions. Even at the end, you're like, what are you going to do? You got bullets. It's better than being ripped apart by monsters. Yeah. It's less painful. So he kills his family.
Yeah. So there's five of them in the car, four bullets.
Yeah.
And like you see the outside of the car and you're like the...
Yeah, and even more horrifyingly, you see the kid's reaction to it. He goes,
yeah,
and that's when you see the outside of the car. Brutal. And then what happens? The mist immediately dissipates like 2 minutes later. And then the army comes in with big guns and flamethrowers.
I kind of did see this coming.
Yeah.
A little bit. I'm not going to sit here and claim that, you know, I saw this coming. But
it's definitely not a typical ending.
When they stopped their car, there was just something about the way it was shown. And there was something about the noises in the distance. Because mm-hmm. that was the thing. It's the silence and they're all looking at each other. They look at the gun. And there's this noise in the distance. And something about it to me just sounded more mechanical.
Mm-hmm.
You should listen to those sounds. You should pay more attention to what's going on around you. Something's not quite right here.
Mm-hmm.
So, he shoots his son and the other three people in the car.
And he just walks out and is like, come on.
Yeah.
Take me, come on. Whoops. It's so cruel. It's so cruel, but I love it. I love it so much. It's so dark. Be an optimist. Stay an optimist. This movie promotes optimism.
I don't think I would have made that choice at the end.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a 50-50. It's more about, you think you're going to die. And then how painful do you want it to be?
Yeah, but it's pretty quick.
I mean, do you want the tentacle to take chunks out of you, you know?
I think if it just gets to a certain level of pain, you would just pass out.
Sure.
I think I'd take my chances in the mist.
Mm-hmm.
The only question I would have, it would be the kid, because the kid can't handle that shit.
Mm.
So, yeah, maybe shoot the kid and then try and survive.
Just the kid because it's annoying.
We have missed one of the funniest things that happened in the entire film.
We have missed. Oh, I know what you're going to say, because you laughed at it in the movie, I remember.
Because the kid's, like, freaking out. The kid's freaking out, and...
This is in the supermarket.
This is in the supermarket, and the dad holds him. He's like, Billy, it's going to be fine. We're going to be perfectly all right. Don't worry about it. You haven't got to worry about a thing. And then he hugs him.
Mm-hmm.
And while he's still hugging him, he looks up, and he's like, if anything happens to me... Look after Billy.
Yeah. I'm probably going to die. He forgot to cover his ears. Oh, shit.
Billy's right there, man.
What I'm mostly curious about is how do you compare this to Train to Busan? Because I feel like this is so much better. I
feel like Train to Busan had less cliche horror movie parts in it. This is the concept done better, but it's not a better film.
Okay, I feel like it is. And I feel like Train to Busan is full of cliches. Like business guy who only looks after himself.
There's cliche characters. They don't do as many things that make you go, come on.
Okay. What's your ratings?
My rating, it was really interesting. I was thinking about this just before we started recording. And I was going to give it a 6 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
But the line of 5 is if I would watch it again. I don't think I would. Talking about it and talking about all the like annoying bits in it,
mm-hmm.
I would probably shrink down to a 4.
A 4?
Yeah, 5 is the line where you'd watch it again, and I wouldn't.
Come on, now.
It's tough, because like I said, this is a film that this is the only film that I've hated that I've liked.
I would give it a 7. Some things that bug me is the cheapness of it, kind of. I feel like the black and white would help that. But that's about it. I think it's a really good story. I think it's really well made. It's really well acted. It's really interesting with a crazy good ending. What's next?
Okay, so I had two options. One was based on this film. A film with like proper monsters that escape containment. And it's all very well done. And it was going to be Evolution. But it's not going to be Evolution. Okay. Evolution goes back to the list. And just for a change of pace, we're going to watch Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, no. I'm going to be the only person in the universe who's going to shit on this movie.
I am sure.
Yeah. It looks like the least me movie ever made.
You never know. I have high hopes that you might enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. I wish we watched Top Gun, the original. The gayest movie ever made.
Cool.
Bye.
Bye.